Srimad Bhagavata Mahapuran Ki Jai. So we're continuing chapter 30. Chapter 30 of Srimad Bhagavatam. This text number 26. And the gopis, they were searching for Krishna. He's left them in the beginning of the Rasa dance. And then they went mad and started imitating Krishna. Each gopi thought that she was Krishna, imitating all his leelas, Bali Leela, Poganda Leela, and Kumara Leela. And then that madness subsided. Now the gopis are still searching for Krishna. They discovered Krishna's footprints. So for many verses, they're going to talk about the footprints, Krishna's footprints. Text 26. Taistai padais tat paravim anvichantyo grato balaha vadva pade suprakritani Milokyarta Samabhruvan. Translation. The gopis continue following Krishna's path, shown by his footprints. Suddenly they see Krishna's footprints are thoroughly intermixed with those of his dearest consort, and they become perturbed and speak as follows, which is the next verse. Jiva Goswami Pad, he comments on the first pada, taistai, by various padai, by various footprints. He says, the gopis follow Krishna's path by the footprints marked with the symbols, which we heard about yesterday. And he repeats the phrase taistai, the same word, taitai. Taistai means taitai. Taitai padai. It's pretty nice. Taistai padai tatpadavim. The repetition suggests that the footprints are scattered in many places, and in some places they're covered with grass. And then the next word is, this is Jiva Goswami's standard. He comments one word after another. Line 2, anvichintyo, which means tracing out or trying to follow. They're trying to find Krishna's footprints in the land of Vrindavan. And they see that some of the places are covered with grass, but because Krishna was carrying Radha, her footprints are not visible in the beginning. So in the beginning, they only saw one pair of footprints, Krishna, because Radharani was riding on Krishna's shoulders like a coward boy. When the coward boys, they wrestle together, they play a game. When one defeats the other one, then the loser has to carry the winner on his back. That's the way it works. You're number one, you're on top. So now, Krishna's the loser, as usual. And he's carrying Radharani on his shoulders because she's always Jai Shri. She's always victorious. So it doesn't say that Radharani is carrying Krishna on her shoulders. She could, because she has Gatana Agatana Patiyasi Shakti. She can make the impossible possible. And Radharani has the power to make the possible impossible and the impossible possible. Vakam karoti vachalam pangam langayate gurim yatkripata tamham vande shri gurim nitaranam. Radharani can make a fool speak wonderful poetry. And Radharani, by her incredible mercy, can make a lame, crippled, lame person cross over the Himalayas. And then, by Radharani's inconceivable, unlimited mercy and kripa, she can give a vision to a blind person, by which the blind person can see Taragana Deki. A blind person can see all the stars in the sky. Tara means stars. Gana means group. This is the power of Kripa. Radharani Kripa. What to speak of all of us? We are, quote unquote, by birth, basket cases. This is an American phrase. Means we're not really qualified. And that's our qualification. Our lack of adhikar is our qualification. Our lack of complete adhikar or eligibility for the Krishna Prem, it's attracted Krishna's mercy because the infinite one is favoring the most finite. All jivas are finite in relation to Krishna. But somehow, those that are most wretched and most fallen, the Jagais and Madais of Kali Yuga, we are coming in this parampara. So I think you're in a Jagai parampara. I'm in Madai parampara. These are the two primary paramparas in Kali Yuga, Jagai and Madai. I don't know about you. I don't know. So other parampara, maybe their cousin. You're not a Vamsh Madai parampara. We're Vamsh. So therefore somehow we've gotten the mercy. People often ask that question, how is it these highly high-born individuals, even devatas, come from heavenly planets, they take birth in India and Kshatriya and Brahmin families, and they have beautiful bodies and beautiful minds and hearts, but they're not getting bhakti. What to speak of the favor of Mahaprabhu and Radhadasyam and Manjri Bhav? Not even a cent of such a thing. Because it's Krishna. It's Krishna's fun game. It's Krishna's fun park. Srishti Leela. Another name. It's called Srishti Leela or Krishna's fun park. So he's having fun. Oh, Radharani, look at this rascal. Look at this rascal. Look at this rascal on Second Avenue. Totally derelict. Totally strung out on I don't know what. Radharani says, strung out. Yeah, I picked that word up from the hippies. Not sure. So Krishna comes down to New York and moves around incognito to find out what people say and what people do. And then Radharani won't get her toes dirty over there. She never takes a step out of Vrindavan. But we see Krishna appearing all over the universe in different forms. Radharani is always in Vrindavan. And Krishna in his Radha form is always in Vrindavan. There's the Radha Krishna form and the other forms. Even in Ras Leela, there's the Radha Krishna form, and then there's the other forms of Krishna dancing with the other gopis. That point is revealed by the acharyas. And when Krishna is dancing with Radharani in the center of the circle, that's a special form of Krishna. That never leaves Radharani's side and never leaves Radharani's inside. That form of Krishna is always inside and outside of Radharani. But then, and Krishna is always in the inside circle with Radharani. And in the outside circles of gopis, Krishna expands himself. As the gopis are all expansions of Radharani, Lita Vishaka Sakhiyo, everyone, they're all like Kayavyuha, expansions of her divine body and her transcendental energy of Ladini, pure love and satisfaction. So Radharani expands herself into so many forms of gopis to increase Krishna's variety and pleasure. As Prabhupada once said, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So Jiva Goswami says this on verse 26. And the line is there, Bala. Abala, bala. Bala means strong. Abala means weak. After some distance, the gopis see two different footprints. But the gopis are weak, abala. Why are they described as abala by Shukamuni? Because they're weak in separation from Sham. And they're searching. In other words, the man gives strength to the woman, and the woman gives strength to the man. So the man without woman is weak. He's weak. And a woman without man is also weak in different ways, emotionally or physically or psychically. That has to be decided in the combination. So they're feeling abala without Krishna. Their weakness is not due to their physical form or being in the female gender, but abala is used here, the weakness of heart. The heart shrinks and dries out in separation from the beloved. But when one is in the presence of the one they love, then the heart expands and swells and fills with rasa and fills with tasty satisfaction, delight, and radiates a certain beautiful charm and enchantment that even others that are not connected with the lovers themselves can perceive the inner radiance that's glowing within the heart of someone in love. This is Radharani and Krishna. So this is what Jiva Goswami is saying. They're weak. The gopis are abala, without strength because of separation from Krishna. And they're searching for that strength. Sometimes we say Balaram, spiritual strength. But the real strength is love. And the Bible says love moves mountains, or maybe faith, or faith and love, and whatever. Ultimately, Shraddha goes to Prem, no? Adho Shraddha Tata Sada Sangha Bhajana Kriya Nartha Nivriti. If you have faith is strong, you end up falling in love with the object of your faith. So the love is the most powerful force in the world and the universe. And that's what gives anyone power. The power of love can move the universe. The power of hate can dissolve and disintegrate everything. But the power of love puts everything back together again and harmonizes everything. Listen, love is constructive. Hate is destructive. So the Bala, Abala. The gopis are weak because of separation from Krishna, but still they're following Krishna's path. The consort whom they see other footprints is none other than Radharani. And this will be established later on, that Radharani is the most fortunate of all the gopis. So Jiva Goswami in text 26 is giving us a sneak preview of the obvious conclusion that Radharani is that special gopi whose footprints have now arisen from the transcendental soil of Vrindavan. We hope that these footprints of Radharani will also arise from the transcendental soil of our hearts. The soil of the heart of the devotee is made of surrender. So the richer the mix and the richer the loam, L-O-A-M, the richer the loam of the soil, then the greater the crop production. The more diversified plants will grow there in a rich soil. So the more one surrenders, the sooner one will see the footprints of Radharani in his heart or her heart. In Acharya Rasa Prabandha, some of these verses are being described in his own way, and this gopi's searching for Krishna. We can dip into that and see what insight Prabodhananda Saraswati, who is oftentimes identified as Tunga Vidyasakhi. So he mentions some of these same points in verse 215 through 217. Shiradaya iti nirdharam kritva bahu viravita vicharam. Shiradaya, shiradaya iti nirdharam kritva bahu vira vihita vicharam uchustat para pankaja ujugale vlad ati bhava rasabara vahale vlad asi bhava rasabara vahale. 215. By considering everything in many ways, the gopis conclude that a second set of footprints must be those of Radha, Sri Radha. Then with great emotion, the gopis discuss Radha's lotus feet, which are overflowing with profuse ras. Atibhav, atibhav rasabhara wahale. Wahale means overflowing. Atibhav, that excessive bhav, that mahabhav, rasabhara. Bhara means laden, heavy, rich. Tat para pankaja jugale. That para pankaja jugale. So it's that pair of lotus feet of Radharani. Text 216. Antarhite dayataya saha krishne chandre. Gopya maha nivida shoka tamobir anda. Prishtva muhur jumalata anukritya nilam. Trishtva padani tu tayo samavarna yamshta. When Krishna Chandra disappears along with his beloved Radha, the gopis become totally blinded, totally blind. Tamabir Anda. By the gloom of greatly intensified lamentation, Maha Nivida Shok. Inquiring from the trees and creepers and imitating the leelas of Krishna, they discover the footprints of the divine couple and describe them intimately. Tristva Padani Tayo Samavarniam Sta. They see the feet of Krishna. So many sages and so many rishis have seen the feet of Krishna, and they've identified all the marks on his feet, the 19 marks, which we were discussing yesterday or day before. And they've seen them, so the gopis are now seeing those same feet that are described in ancient Puranas, Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, etc. And that's the treasure of the devotee, to discover Krishna's footprints. Where do we discover Krishna's footprints? We discover Krishna's footprints in the land of our heart, when our heart becomes the land of Vrindavan. The gopis are moving in the land of Vrindavan, searching for Krishna who is invisible to them, as it's saying, Anda. This is the verse of 2:16. Tamobir Anda. They can't see their Dayataya. Dayataya Krishna Chandra. Dayataya. Their beloved Krishna Chandra, they can't see. And we can't see our beloved Krishna Chandra. We're seeking the beloved Krishna Chandra. We cannot see him. And we're living in Vrindavan, searching for him. But Vrindavan outside is Vrindavan inside. Within and without, we live in Vrindavan. Shiva Goswami says the best thing to do is live in Vrindavan and do bhajan and meditate on Krishna's Brajalila in Vrindavan. If one is separated from Vrindavan, then take Vrindavan in your heart, take it in your mind, leave the t-shirt in the shop. Leave the t-shirt in the shop that says, I love Vrindavan. But do take Vrindavan in your heart and do take Vrindavan in your mind. And when you go outside somewhere else to live or work, then you establish that land of Vrindavan in your heart, Vrindavan in the heart, and try to seek out and search out for Krishna's footprints and discover Krishna's footprints there. And when one discovers Krishna's footprints, Tristva Padani Samavarniyascha. Varna means words and syllables and varieties of ways. Some means so many. So when one discovers Krishna's feet in his or her heart, then he will speak in so many wonderful ways about the glories of those feet. And that's what the gopis are showing, and that's what Prabodhananda Saraswati is reminding us in 2:16. 2:17 of Ascharya Rasa Prabandha. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Krishna Padankam Pashita Kamam, Krishna Padankam Pashita Kamam, Radha Paralakshmiam Mapi Abhiramam, Sakya Hiram Kalu Darshitam Anaya, Tinatam Saviti Nirvara Kripaya, Kalu Darshitam Anaya, Ati Nirvara Kripaya, Pashitakamam Apyaviramam, Darshitam Anaya Nirvara Kripaya. It's actually very beautiful. He says, the gopis take turns calling out each other, Hey, Sakigan, oh, dear girlfriends, behold, to your heart's content, the fascinating footprints of Krishna. Krishna Padankam Pashitakamam, Radha Padankam Vilasan Madaras Talike. In Radharas Sudaniti, there's a beautiful verse describing Vrindavan, Radha's Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan means Radharani. Vrindavan means Vrindavaneshri. A queen must have a queendom. King must have a kingdom. So the queen has her queendom, and this is Vrindavan. So in Radharas Siddhanidhi, it says, Radha Padanka Vilasan Madaras Talike. Madaras Talike. So the Stala, Rasastali, or the Jal Keli Stal, or Stali means a place of pastimes. Vamshivat, Vamshivat Stali. Radha Padanka Vilasan Madaras Jalike. So this Radha Padanka, the lotus feet of Radharani, Anka, Radha Padanka, Anka means mark. Like one name in Sanskrit for the moon planet is Shashanka. Maybe you've seen, if you've ever read Shastra, you'll see the word Shashanka. Shashanka means, very nice, it says, oh, Shashanka was rising in the sky. Shashanka means that planet which is marked, Anka, with a shashan. In Hindi, it's Kargos. Kargos means rabbit, Shashanka. So Shashanka is another name for Chandra, the moon planet. He has, and yet you see when you look at the full moon, there's a side view of the rabbit, profile picture, a selfie of the rabbit. Yes, you see a side view. It looks very, very attractive. A side view and ears going up. You saw? Shashanka. So it's not the man in the moon. Of course, the chauvinistic men of the West, they want to say it's a man in the moon. And the women will say, no, it's a woman in the moon. And they'll argue forever. But actually, the rabbit will stand up and say, no, I'm in the moon. The rabbit's in the moon. Now, the next debate is it a female rabbit or a male rabbit? To be continued next millennium. This is the way. So Radha Padanka Vilasan Madaras Tilike. So the Lila Stalis of Krishna are beautified and sweetened Madhuri by Radha's footprints. So this is Prabhupada and the Saraswati's glorification of Radha Kund, or what they speak of Manasapavan Ghat. Manasapavan Ghat, you can go there and you can search for Radha, you can discover Radha and his footprints there. She comes there every day to bathe. And you can go there, if you go at the right time, there's still maybe wet footprints on the steps of Radharani coming out of Shamakund. As I said, all is possible. By the mercy of Dham Kripa and Bhakti Kripa, Guru Kripa and Radha Kripa. So he's saying here, Krishna Padankam, the gopis are saying, oh, Krishna Padankam, Pashitakamam. Just see, the marks of Krishna's feet are manifested here. And behold, to your heart's content, Kamam Radha Pada Lakshaviramam, the fascinating footprints. Very nice. Behold, to your heart's content, the fascinating footprints of Krishna with the footprints of Radha. By their profound mercy, the gopis are speaking to each other, by their, Radha and Krishna's profound mercy, Radha and Krishna have shown some hint of their pastimes to us, who are so pitiable. So the gopis are seeing footprints of Krishna and Radharani and they're thinking, oh, there's the footprints. Here is the Leela. The Leela was just here, but where are we? The Leela's here, but where are we? How pitiable we are. Ati Nirbhara Kripaya. Nirbhara Kripaya. We're completely devoid of any form of mercy, which the translator says. Ati Nirbhara Kripaya. We don't have any bhara kripa. We have nirbhara. We don't have any mercy at all. We're really pitiable. So gopis are identifying like that, and they're moving around Vrindavan. They've seen some footprints of Krishna. We also move around Vrindavan. We're looking for Krishna. Hey Rad, hey Vrajadeva ke chalalike. Oh, today our Braj Mandal Prikma is going to Durvasa Muni's ashram. Today our Raj Yatra is going to Kamyavan. So everyone gets in the bus and goes there. So everyone's going there and looking for Krishna's footprints and to remember the Leelas. Who is seeing the footprints and who is actually seeing the Leela when they go there on the Yatra? But samskaras, positive good samskaras are created and Harikata is being spoken. And that's purifying for everyone and all the universe also. So the gopis are feeling pitiable, dejected, empty, frustrated. We're in Vrindavan. We see signs of Krishna, clues of Krishna's pastimes. This is the Vatri. This is Vamshivat. And Krishna stood under this tree and played his flute and summoned the gopis for the rasa dance. And I'm pressing my head to this tree and I'm doing parikrama this tree and I'm offering flowers to this kalpavriksha tree. But I'm not seeing the pastimes, and I'm not seeing Krishna in Tribhanga form, Tribhanga Lalitam Niyataprakasham. So Vishnu Chakravarti says in verse 26, they say the gopis then see the footprints of Krishna mixed Supriktani with those of Radha. So Prabhupada's translation of this verse 26, gopis follow Krishna's footprints and shortly they see another set of footprints besides Krishna's and immediately they become very sorry. Dear Sakis, just see. That's all he says, just see. Text 27. Kaisya padani chaitani yataya nanda sununa Amsa nyasta prakoshtaya kareno karina yata. The gopis say, oh, here we see the footprints of some gopi who is walking along with Nanda Nandan. Krishna is resting his arm on this gopi's shoulder, just as an elephant rests his trunk on the shoulder of his beloved she elephant. Kareno karina yata. Amsa nyasta prakoshtaya kareno karina yata. Text 27. Shiva Gosvamipad says, here all the gopis are speaking in unison. Everyone is saying the same thing. Kasya padani chaitani yataya nandasunana. As if everyone is attaining the same realization. And in surprise, together they are speaking. That's amazing. The gopis understand the other footprints are those of a woman. Very good detectives. Because of the softer impressions in the sand. Because the lady is lighter in weight. Makes sense. Than Krishna's. But they don't say, because of anger, Jiva Goswami says, because of anger, the gopis don't directly mention the name of those footprints. Which gopis are those footprints? That's what he says. Due to anger. As they did previously, and they definitely recognize those footprints as being of a woman. And so then he says, it appears, they say, according to Jiva Goswami, Amsa Nyasta, because in line 3 it says, Amsa means arm, Amsa Nyasta Prakoshtaya. Koshta means shoulder. Krishna's resting his arm. Let's say, who's who? Krishna's resting his left arm on Radharani's shoulder, and he's walking along. So then Shiva Goswami, because often lovers, they move like this, husbands and wives or whomever. They walk along, and wife arm around the husband's waist and like this. Everyone knows that. Jiva Goswami gives another reason for this. Interesting, you know. It says that Krishna has his arm around his shoulder so that he can quickly lead Radha away, since Radha is stumbling in the dark. Radharani is night blind. She can't see very well in the dark because she's golden in color. Her name is Bano Nandini. Bano means sun, and she's a worshipper of the sun, as you know, Surya Puja every day. And her father was a sun worshipper. So she can't see very well in the dark. Bano Nandini. But Krishna is born at midnight. So if you're born at midnight and on the eighth day of the waning moon, I think, I forget, you have to know how to see pretty well. And Krishna is black also. So Krishna can see very well in the dark. He's always moving around in the forest. So he has to find all the different kunjas. He can't, He has to know exactly where he's going to meet which gopi at what time. And so he's very expert navigating in the dark on Amavasya. Remember, Krishna's alone when he's moving to meet different gopis and kunjas. Radharani's going with a whole fleet of mandris and messengers and servants and whole squadron of parrots and so many assistants and, you know, Google Global and everything. And she has all her gopis to find out the location. They're going all different directions to find out where Krishna's waiting for her in a kunj. Sometimes Krishna's waiting for Radharani in a kunj and he's so anxious to meet her, and he's waiting just to hear some faint idea that Radharani's coming, some indication, slight indication. So the wind blows through the trees and the dried leaves in the trees are clashing against each other and making some sound which is basically imperceptible. You can't really hear the... Can you hear the music? Can you hear the music of the leaves? Can you hear the music of the leaves when they're clashing together in a faint breeze? Probably not, unless your senses are extremely expanded. So Krishna, in his madness and intense separation from Radharani, what was that? I think that's Radharani's ankle bells. It's the tinkling sound of Radharani's ankle bells. He runs out. He looks down the footpath. Where's my Radharani? Oh, she's not coming. What was that? What was I hearing? He's looking. What misled me to think it was ankle bells? Oh, then he sees. Oh, so this was on Krishna's leading. So then the gopis, they go on everywhere and find out where Krishna is. This is one of the services of the mandris, MMS, Mandri Messenger Service. So they run here and there. Oh, there's Krishna. And what reward they get when they run back to Radharani. So Radharani, I found him. I know where he is. I will take you exactly where he is. I know exactly how to get there. So Radharani will be so pleased with that mandri that she'll want to award them something. Patam tukulam praniyata swadatam. Says that when Radharani's pleased with her mantras, with her own hand, praniyata kartam, with her own hand, kartam, like karta, with her own hand, Radharani gives her clothes, her veil or her dress to her mantras. So sometimes, many times, the mandris are wearing the prasadi vesh, prasadi cloth of Radharani. Maybe a choli, maybe a dress, maybe a veil, or on their head a shawl. So this is in Radharas Serenity. Patam dakulam, pranayata datam to the mandris. So when they discover Krishna, then Radharani is very happy. So he's saying that Jiva Goswami is commenting on verse 27. That why it's not just a loving expression that Krishna's resting his left arm on Radharani, but it's to support her and to help her to move through the forest because it's difficult for her to walk. So he's holding her and guiding the way, just like a blind man. A blind man has a stick and he holds one end of the stick and someone who has eyes walks in front of him and leads him along. You must have seen, especially in India. So it's not good to be blind, especially Tamasi Mam Jyotirgama. The real blindness is the blindness of ignorance. Not seeing our own identity and not seeing the reality that lies in our heart and not seeing the potential reality we can attain by a little surrender and a little endeavor. That's blindness. So that's why the Shastras, they encourage us to go to the light, go to the men of light, the light of hope, the light of wisdom, the light of knowledge. These three lights will show us God and show us eternal life of happiness. The light of hope, the light of knowledge, and the light of love. And that's all coming, descending from Krishna into the hearts of the enlightened ones, into the hearts of the wisdom teachers and mentors. And they try to share this light, hope, and love with others that come in there and they're peripheral, so to speak. Since Radharani is stumbling in the dark, Krishna shows his great affection also by doing this. Radha Govinda Yugal, in the last phrase, he's saying, Karino Karina Yata. It's a very interesting comparison. It's very popular in Indian literature. Radha and Krishna, Radha Govinda Yugal, the divine, beautiful, loving pair, are compared to elephants. Elephants seem like huge, gross beasts with thick skin and long noses and rather huge feet and you walk like an elephant. We would think that's an insult. But in Sanskrit poetry and poetics and kavya and sahitya, poetry and literature, these comparisons are made. Krishna is walking into Vrindavan like a royal elephant or a drunken elephant. Haven't seen, can't tell you what it looks like. Have you seen a drunken elephant? I wouldn't want to be too near one. You know, drunks are dangerous. So a drunken elephant would be really dangerous. A drunken man is dangerous enough. He only weighs 80 kilos. So somehow they're compared. Oh, how beautiful Radha and Krishna are. They look like a male and female elephant. Krishna with his arm resting lovingly and supportingly on the lowered shoulders and rounded shoulders of Radharani, looks like a royal bull elephant with his trunk resting on the shoulders of his beloved she elephant as they wander through the forest. This is supposed to be a romantic comparison. Sukadev compares the divine couple to a pair of elephants wandering in the forest out of desire and affection. So apparently, it escapes me. I have not perceived such a phenomenon. But apparently elephants, male and female elephants, Mr. and Mrs. Elephant, are very romantic. Like parrots. Parrots are very romantic. There are many, many birds, but they're kind of aloof. One bird's flying here and there. They move around together, but they're... Parrots are very affectionate to each other. The husband and wife are just talking all day and night. Sometimes you meet some people like that, your ideal mate. You can just talk away your lives, you know, any stupid thing. Maybe some meaningful things too, at least you think it's meaningful. But the main idea is just to talk and to hear the voice of the beloved and be heard by the beloved. It's an energy, it's a feeling, it's a way of unity, it's a way of love. Talking is also love. So you observe the behavior of the parrots, especially in Vrindavan, when they're not caged up in prison in somebody's living room. That's really a terrible thing. But people do like that. They never think, if the shoe fits, wear it. Would you like to be put in a cage? Would you like your arms to be chopped off and put in a cage? How about your legs? Because you don't fly with arms, you walk with your legs. Well, cut off your legs, put you in a cage, and give you some green chilies and chickpeas every day. You like that? So that's what they do to the parrots. They cut off their wings so they can't walk, can't fly. Give them some chickpeas and green chilies. And tell them to sing. And what do they say? They say, you should go to, you know, let me out of here. But we see when the parrots are in their natural habitat, they sit on the branches of the neem tree and they just talk and talk and talk. We were on Parikrama the other day in Govardhan, and we went on the inside path and it wasn't blocked off with a barbed wire, which they do sometimes. Every 100 yards barbed wire, you can't walk. We took a chance, and 99, like lakhs and lakhs of people were on the outside path. Some people, there's three paths. There's the outside road path, then near the road path, then near Giraj path. So we went on the, cut somehow on the inside path. And whole way, as far as you could see, up straight ahead in the path, there's nobody but us, our small group. Somehow or other. They have a phrase, dare to be different, dare to be great. That's an old phrase in business. Dare to be different, dare to be great. So if you want to be You have to, I mean, look at all of us, all of us sitting here. We come from such variegated backgrounds and ways of thought and ways of life. But we decided to be different and run after a little blue boy and a little golden girl and running through the forest, little flute player with long, shiny hair, bouncy hair, and a beautiful romantic girl, let's say. People think we're crazy. But we can't help it. They've filled each one of us with such a sweetness that it's irresistible. It's a matter of degree. How much we're relishing the sweetness of Krishna and how much we're trying to squeeze sweetness from Maya. Anyway, everyone's trying somewhere. So this is the elephants. The elephants, Radha and Krishna compared. So it says, Jiva Goswami says, the real reason that Krishna is resting his arm on Radha's shoulder, he's doing this because he loves her. That's nice. It's mamata. Mamata means possessiveness. So when you're a little girl, you wrap your arm around your teddy bear and you lie in bed. You're mine, oh teddy bear. And you kiss him and pull his ear and flip him around, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that boys will do that. Girls are more tender. You hug the little teddy bear and then you put him next to you on the pillow and you talk to him and go to sleep. Yeah? You forget, you're like old grandmothers now, so you can't remember. So this is, and you think this is my teddy bear. As if someone comes in and challenges your ownership on that teddy bear, you'll fight till death. You'll fight till death over your teddy bear. Someone said, I'm going to take this teddy bear. Oh, the little 6-year-old girl will just go crazy. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. So Krishna puts his arm on Radharani and says, she's mine, she's mine, she's mine. And Das Goswami, crying in separation from Radharani on the banks of Shamakund, he says, Tavevasmi, Tavevasmi, Najivami Twayavina, Hitivigaya Devitvam, Nayamam Charanantikam. O Radharani, I am yours, I am yours, I am yours, which means you are mine, you are mine, you are mine. You are mine, you are mine, you are mine. I am yours, I am yours, I am yours. So this is possessiveness, mamata. So Krishna's putting his arm on Radharani's shoulder to help her move through the darkness, to show his affection, and to moreover to reassure in Radharani's heart and mind, Radharani, you are mine, you are mine, you are mine. So Jiva Goswami gives us this beautiful insight to verse 27 of chapter 30. And Vishnu Chakravarti says, the gopis in this verse 27, they say, these are the footprints of some gopi upon whose shoulders Krishna is resting his arm. That's what he says. And then Prabodhananda Saraswati, in one verse, he also mentions this point. In verse 218 of Acharya Rasa Pramanda, and we can see that. I had a page mark. 218. Preshta. Preshtatamam. Preshtatamam sarpita bhujavali. Param ujvala rasa kalpakavali. Radha dhruva mihalila gatibish. Chalita mirdu mirdu nupara rutibi. Translation. Keeping her creeper-like arm upon the shoulder of her most beloved, Radha. It's her. Oh, okay. Keeping her creeper-like arm upon the shoulder of her most beloved, Radha. So now Radharani has her arm on Krishna's shoulder also. Radha, who is a desire-fulfilling vine, Rasakalpa, Rasakalpa Vali, a desire fulfilling vine of supremely effulgent conjugal mellows. Well, that's amazing. Parama Ujvala Ras, Kalpakavali. Amazing. Supremely effulgent, Ujvala, conjugal mellow, romantic, amorous mellows. Radharani has surely adopted a sportive gait at this very spot while her ankle bells tinkled softly and sweetly. Radha Dhruvam, Lila Gatibish. That's funny. Lila Gatibish. Gati means to walk. Like we have the gait, G-A-I-T means the style of walking. Walking with a certain gait is English phrase, G-A-I-T. So it comes from Sanskrit, G-A-T-I, gati. So Lila means sport, Lila means play. So Radharani's translation says she's walking with a sportive gait. That's nice. Chalita mridu mridu nupura rutibi. And her ankle bells are tingling softly and sweetly. Ruti means sweet and mridu mridu. Mridu mridu means very soft and gentle. So this is a nice point. Give us further picture for our meditation. Krishna has his arm on Radharani's shoulder, according to Shukadeva Goswami, and Prabhupada Saraswati says Radharani has her arm on his shoulder too. I take turns or whatever. It's all adjusted. This is text 27. There's different groups of gopis are seeing and conjecturing about the dual footprints they're perceiving in the dust of Vrindavan. Rivals like Chandravali and her group, Radha Vipaksha Sakis, they're against Radharani, so they're acting as competitors for Krishna, and they're Radharani's rivals. But another group of Sakis is walking along looking at Krishna's footprints, and this is Radharani's favorable Krishna, Priya and Preshta Sakis, like Lalita Vishaka Chitra Indalekha, etc. In verses, now we're on verse 37. In verses 26 through 33, excuse me, we're in verse 27. Verses 26 through 33, in these eight shlokas, chapter 30, the gopis are searching for Krishna's, and they especially highlight one special foremost gopi, which we'll find is Radharani, although not directly mentioned. Different gopis are speaking each verse, and by the mood and content of the words, the acharyas have identified which gopis, sometimes Radharani's gopis, sometimes neutral gopis, and sometimes antagonistic or anti-party gopis. So we'll see as we go along. This verse here, the gopis, they say, well, they haven't said anything. They're just seeing the footprints. And then this verse, they say, verse 27, which we read. Oh, here's the footprints of some gopi walking along with Krishna. So this can be favorable or neutral. He doesn't say. They're not saying. But it can be one or the other. We would say it would be neutral. She seems just basically reporting. There's obviously some gopi must be walking. That's their conjecture. In text 28, we can look at that verse also. Text 28. So obviously it's very slow moving because it's one verse by one verse. And basically, Krishna's not there. The gopis are searching for Krishna. Now they have some clue. And the only clue that they're running with, the only clue that they have is footprints in the sand. And first they see one set of footprints of one person, and they identify that person as Krishna by the marks they see in the sand. In the sand are the different impressions and marks from Krishna's feet. How that's so? That's Yogamaya makes that arrangement. So they can see the flag, and they can see the chakra, and the ashtakon, and the swastik, and different significant marks that are indicative of Krishna and Krishna alone. So they aptly or correctly conclude that these are Krishna's footprints. Then suddenly they find another set of footprints which are narrower and shorter and not so deeply impressed in the brajaraj or the sand. So it's easy to conclude that these are the footprints of a woman or a lady, obviously some gopi who is with Krishna. Who it is, we don't know exactly. It's not clear to us. But obviously Earlier, Jiva Goswami said, Radharani's Astasakis, not Chandravalis, they're a little slow, a little dumb, apparently, according to Jiva. But Jiva goes, Radharani's Astasakis are sharp, really sharp, like Lalita, for example. So they're not sure, but they're pretty sure that these must be Radharani's footprints. They have a good sense that these are Radharani's footprints, but not completely sure. So they're very thrilled and excited that they must be Radharani. And the other gopis, Chandravali and the Attai party, the rivals, they're not sure whose prints are these. Still, they don't know. Yogamaya is making this covering of illusion so they can't perceive it. So this is the big verse. This is the only verse in the 10th canto, and maybe in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, where Radharani's name is there in syllables. It's called Vyavahara Nam. The name is there, but separated in syllables. Well, it's actually not even separated. This famous verse, Anaya Radito, Anaya, Anaya Radito Nunam, 10:30:28. 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 30, verse 28. This is the verse that indicates Radharani. Anaya Radito Nunam, Bhagavan Hare Ishvaraha, Yanno Vihaya Govinda, Prito yam anayad raha. Aradito. Aradito means, of course, Radita means Radha. Radha, Radha. Translation, one gopi says, certainly this particular gopi, Anaya means someone else, some other one, Anaya. This particular gopi has perfectly worshipped Aradita, Ishvara. Bhagavan Hari, Ishvara. She has perfectly worshipped Ishvara, Hari. So and Govinda is so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and took her to a secluded place. So this is obviously spoken by Radharani's favorable party, by her friends and supporters. I'm not sure if it says which gopi, because they're saying she's very fortunate. She's a fortunate one, and she's pleased Krishna so much that he's taken her and not us. She's really fortunate. She's really lucky. She's perfectly worshipped Krishna. So this is a very positive and favorable statement. Obviously not from some envious girlfriends, because an envious person would never glorify the anti-party. So this is text 28. Anya Radito Nunam. Bhagavan Harishwaraha. So this is very easy to see. I was mentioning before about this idea of in the verses many times, every verse if you have that type of bhav, but in the verses of the Bhagavatam, especially here, you can see Radha Govinda Yugal in the Sanskrit, because it's talking about Govinda and the other gopi, but in the names, Radha's there, Hari is there, Radha, Hari, Ishvara, and Preeti. Govinda, Radha, Hari, Ishvara, Govinda, Preeti. That's very nice. Really, a lot of Nam Sankirtan in this verse. Two names of Radharani and three names of Krishna. Of course, Hari can be Radharani also. Harir Ishvara, Govinda. Harir Ishvara, Govinda. Radito. It's very nice. If you just take these words and put them together, because this verse is about Radha and Krishna. This is the only verse in the Bhagavatam which mentions Radharani's name. Anaya Radito. Radha. Radha Radito. Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Radhanam Tatam. Aradhana means to worship. Not just by anyone, but by Radharani. So the greatest worshipper, the greatest servant of Krishna is Radharani. So Aradito and Hari Ishvara. Because Radharani is worshipping Krishna so wonderfully and so perfectly with such love and such submission and selflessness, then Krishna steals her away from all the other gopis. Radito Hari. And by this he shows that he's Ishvara, that he's controlled by the love of Radharani. Ishvara means control. So Hari steals Radharani away because Unlike all the other gopis, she is a supreme worshiper and the supreme, can please Krishna and satisfy Krishna the most. So Hari, the word Hari means to steal. So he steals, kidnaps, whisks Radharani away from all the other millions of gopis. And then he's Hari Ishvara. And by this he shows that the Ishvara is controlled by Ishvari Radha. Because of her aradhanam, her worship, her love, her submission, her sweetness, her dedication, and her very being. Then the third line says Govinda. Fourth line says Preeti. Then Raha. Govinda, Preeti, Raha. Raha means, like we have Rahasya, Bhajan Rahasyam. So Raha means secret. There's some Bhajan, Bangladeshi Bhajan. Rahani Shri Din, Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna Murari. Mama Mana Mandire. You know that song? Mama Mana Mandire, Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna. Rahani Shri Din. Nishi and Din, in the night and in the day, in a secret place, in the core of your heart. Rahanishi Din. Mama Mandire, Krishna Murari, Rahanishi Din. So in the core of my heart, in the secret cave of my heart, in the Hridaya Guha, in the cave of my heart, day and night, I'm following the Astakali Leela of Krishna Murari and Radharani. I'm worshiping them and I'm moving with them. I'm seeing them and remembering them. Raha Nishidin. So this word is there. Govinda Preeti Raha. So now Krishna has stolen Radharani away from all the gopis. So he's Aradito Hari Ishvara. He's controlled by her love. And being controlled by Radharani's love, then he takes her to a secret place, Raha. And because he takes her to a secret place, because Radharani is his Preeti. Says Preeti Yam Anayad. He led Radharani. Govinda Preeti Anayad Raha. Because Radharani conquers Krishna's heart, Ishvara. Who can conquer the heart of the Ishvara? Who can conquer the Parameshvara? Radharani. Ishvara Radharani. So conquering Krishna's heart, Krishna takes her to a private kunja, to a Raha, Rahasya Kunj. Nikunja Rahasya Stava. There's that prayer. Famous prayer in Vrindavan, Nikunja Rahasya Stava. It's all about the confidential, secret, amorous pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the Nikunjas of Vrindavan. And there, in that place, Govinda takes Preeti Radha. And then why is it Govinda? Sukadev says Govinda. Because Govinda means senses and Vinda means delight. So when Krishna takes Radharani to a secret Rahasya Kunja, Nikunja Rahasya, as it says here in text 28, Preeto Yam Anayad Raha. Then Krishna pleases Radharani with all of his senses. And Krishna becomes delighted and pleased with all of the go. Krishna himself becomes delighted and pleased and satisfied by seeing and interacting with all the senses of Radharani. Because the word go means indriya or senses. When Krishna's eyes see Radharani, he becomes very happy and pleased. When Krishna's nose smells the fragrance of Radharani, he becomes very thrilled and excited. When Krishna's ears hear Radharani's sweet and poetic words flowing and cascading from the lotus of her mouth, then his heart thrills with delight and his mind feels so soothed and calm and satisfied. And when Krishna feels the touch of Radharani, then he's Indate, Govinda, one who is thrilled. Vindate means thrilled, delighted, satisfied. One who is thrilled or satisfied or delighted by contacting the senses of his gopi named Radha. And it goes the other way around. Radharani is also thrilled and satisfied by seeing Krishna Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya Krishna, and hearing Vena Madhurya Krishna, Prema Madhurya, and Leela Madhurya. So all these points can be drawn from the Nam Sankirtan of this verse, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 30, verse 28. Anya radito nunam bhagavan harir ishvaraha yanno vihaya govinda prito yam manayadraha. Jiva Goswami says, first Radharani's friends speak this verse, since Radha's friends have deep interest because of their intimacy with Radharani. Although the verse says Krishna, let's see. Although the Jiva Goswami says, although the verse says Krishna is Ishvara, actually, which means completely swatantra, independent. Swatantra, the word swatantra in Sanskrit means independent. So Krishna is Ishvara or independent swatantra. He's the supreme controller. But Krishna now in the presence of Radha, he becomes aswatantra. Becomes aswatantra. He's no longer independent because of Radharani's worship. Very nice point. Anya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara. That Ishvara, that Swatantra Bhagavan, that completely independent Lord, master of the universe, control of the universe, by the worship of Radharani, by the submission and love of Radharani, Krishna becomes completely conquered. He loses all his independence. He has no free will. free will and independence. Only one that has free will is Radharani. So we are free. If she gives us our mercy, we're free to surrender to Radharani. So he says his nice point. Because of Radharani's worship, Aradhya, Aradito, Shrimati Radharani is controlling Krishna, which is what I basically said also. And it says in the first line, Anaya Radito Nunam. Jiva Goswami Pad says, Nunam indicates guessing, conjecture, or certainty. So it's either one. And Hari means Krishna takes away all distress and he's capable of fulfilling desires of devotees. So what else is he saying? That's all he says. And Vishnu Chakravarti Pad says, on this 10:30:28, he says this. And Vishnu Chakravarti is commenting on six words of this verse. The verse has about 13 words or so. But Vishnu comments on six words. Radito, Hari, Ishvara, Govinda, Priti, and Raha. Which we also commented on. Thus, then he says, thus the Lita and other Sakis in the Surid Paksha friendly group to Radharani, they recognize that these are the footprints of Radharani. Because they see two footprints and they say, yes. Because all the gopis are noticing, look, there's Krishna's footprints, there's another footprints, but no one's saying who it is. Now, that's the last verse, someone just said, oh, they must be together because the two footprints are together. So when Radha and Krishna are together, then they can't help but embrace each other, put their arms on each other to express their love. Just walking side by side won't do. That won't do. They're not having a discussion with husbands and wives over finances. There's no financial discussions where everything is only expressions of love. There's no business. There's no paying the rent and electric bill. Who's going to pay which bill and who pays the car payments, you or me? They don't have these discussions. So when they're together, they simply express their romance and their love. So arms and kissing and all these things. Sometimes arguments too. And then many things are there. That's all part of the other side of the coin, the love coin. The love coin is yoga and viyog. And we're continuing text 28, chapter 30. Vishnath comments about the favorable gopis are speaking here. When Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, and all her sakis, they became very internally enlivened. But since there are many different kinds of gopis in their association, Lalita pretended externally not to recognize these footprints. Without directly mentioning Radha's name, Lalita and other sakis joyfully declare Radha's good fortune in this verse by indirectly indicating her name. So those who know. Those who don't know wouldn't be able to catch it. So Lalita Sakhi spoke this famous verse. That's nice. So that's a nice quiz question. What's the name of the Sakhi that reveal? When you go to VIHE, I wonder if you get this kind of question. What's the name of the Sakhi that reveals Radharani's name in the Bhagavatam. Yeah, well, you're a good student. This is VIHE, Vrindavan Institute for Higher Enlightenment. Vrindavan Institute of the Highest Enlightenment. That's nice. There's no higher enlightenment than the service and love of Radha and Krishna. So this is to be learned and to be taught and to be sought. To be learned, taught, sought, and attained. So they're enlivened. We're also enlivened. The Radharani has come on the scene now to make cheer everyone up. But there's so many other ones that they don't want to say. The gopi said, certainly Bhagavan Ishvara Hari, who takes away the sorrow of his devotees and who has the power to fulfill their desires, has been worshipped Aritu by this fortunate woman. But Krishna has not been worshipped by us, so he rejected us and ran away alone with her. The word in line 1, Aradita, refers to Srimati Radharani. Even though the sage Shukadeva Goswami tries with all endeavor to hide Radharani's name, but now Radha's name automatically shines forth from the moon of Shukadeva Goswami's mouth. This is indeed Radha's mercy, and it acts like a rumbling of a kettle drum to announce Radha's great fortune. Kettle drum is, in Sanskrit, is Anakadundubi. I believe so. Very loud. You know, kettle drum? They have in a symphony orchestra. Symphony orchestra. They have this huge drum. It's made of copper or maybe bell metal or so. You ever saw? It's huge. And it has a skin across the top of it. And it's about 2 meters wide. Maybe 1.5. No, meters three. Three. Yeah, it's about 1.5 meters wide. And they have big sticks with rubber wrapped around or something on the end, cloth. And boom, boom, boom. Very loud. Nanda Maharaj had one of these. And there's Gopuram. And the entrance to his palace, you see when you see go to Rajasthan, or you see these old temples in Vrindavan, they have very big gates, or Jayapur. You go to the Jayapur temple in Vrindavan. Very grand and beautiful temple to see. It was built in 1937. And the Vrindavan Mathura Railway was put in by the government of UP in cooperation with the government of Rajasthan just to bring in the goods, the stones and whatnot from Rajasthan, deliver them right to that temple. So the railway was set up just to bring in stone from Rajasthan, because the railway went to Mathura and on to Delhi, but not to Vrindavan. So that railway, they made railway tracks into Vrindavan just to carry the stones from the Rajasthan for that temple, Jayapur temple. It's very beautiful. It's on the Mathura-Vrindavan road. You go down to Rangaji temple or old Govindaji temple. There's a main road there with all the ancient ashrams of the sadhus. Ananda Mai Ma, her ashram is there. And Ramakrishna Mission is there. Many of the old big saints of Vrindavan have their ashrams there. And the road goes from Rangaji temple all the way to Mathura. The gopis say, certainly Krishna has taken away Ishvara Hari. He takes away the sorrow of devotees. And we read that already. And the word Aradita refers to Radharani. The Puranas say the name Radhika means one who satisfies the desires of Krishna by her worship. The Vedas, Radharani's name is directly mentioned in the Purusha, in many Vedas directly mentioned. For example, in the Purusha Bodhini Upanishad section of the Atharva Veda, which is one of the original Vedas, in Transcendental Gokul Dham, Srimati Radharani and Sri Chandravali Devi stand at the left and right side of Krishna. The Gautamiya Tantra says, this is in Adi Lila, chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata. The playful and radiant transcendental Devata, the playful and radiant transcendental devata named Radhika is completely full of Krishna and his love, worship, and seva. This is the translation. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata. Krishna Chakravarti is quoting this Krishna Upanishad. Vamanga Sahita Devi Radha Vrindavanishvari. Vamanga Sahita Devi Radha Vrindavanishvari. In other words, Krishna Chakravarti is explaining that he's citing different, not only is Radharani being mentioned in this verse from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 30, verse 28, Anaya Radhito Nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvraha Yanno Vihaya Govinda Prito Yam Anayadraha. So this is the only place where Radharani's name is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but it's very clear. Anaya Radhito means Radha, and Vishnu counteracts any arguments where someone might say, oh, this is indirect mentioning, it's not direct. And what about, is there any other shastric proof or praman for the existence or the name of Radharani? So then he quotes all these Upanishads. First he quotes the Vedas of the Shrutis, Atharva Veda, Rig Veda, Sama Veda, and Yajur Veda. These are the four original Vedas. So he quotes the Atharva Veda, and he says, it says right there in Atharva Veda, in the transcendental Golok, Gokula Dham, in the spiritual sky, Srimati Radharani and Srimati Chandravali stand on the right and left side of Sri Krishna. So there they are. Radharani is on the left, or maybe she's, yeah, because she's younger, and Chandravali is on the right. Because the elder is always on the right. Balaram is always on the right of Krishna, and Nittai is on the right of Chaitanya. And Advaita is on the right of Nittai, generally, because he's eldest. So this is the way it goes. When Nanda Maharaj sits down in the morning and takes Narayan's prasad, Vishnu prasad, with his, or let's say in the evening rather, in the evening time, and Pradosh Leela, from 8:24 in the evening till 10:48, after bringing the cows into the Goshala, milking the cows, arranging all the milk and everything, storing, then Nanda Maharaj goes and sits at the royal dining room, and he sits with his brothers, Upananda and all their children, and then he sits with Krishna and Balaram in the evening to take prasadam. So it's described when they're sitting together, Nanda Maharaj is sitting there, and Balaram is on his right, and Krishna's on his left. And there's two reasons why that seating arrangement is there. One is so that the Nanda Maharaj can feed both of them, can feed Krishna and feed Balaram, and be with both of them, and also to keep them from being in nonsense. Because when two boys sit together, two brothers sit together, the one boy will shoot peas from his plate to his brother's plate, take a spoon, and the other one will, like, they'll play and make a mess. And so he's like a referee. Nanda Maharaj is a referee to keep Krishna and Balaram from acting crazy. It's all right, but tonight he has guests. His elder brother is there. Nanda Maharaj is eating with Upananda. Upananda is his elder brother. Ananda and Sunanda. So all five Nandas are together. Nanda's in the middle. He has two elder to him and two younger. So he wants to make a good impression. So the boys have to behave themselves. So the father is sitting between them. There was no chance for them to get out of line. Hey, hey. So that's one thing. But the seating arrangement, because Balaram is elder to Krishna, then he sits on Krishna's right and also on Nanda's right. So this is what's being said here. Radharani is in Chandravali is elder to Radharani, so she's sitting on the right hand side of Krishna, and the left hand side is Radharani, which is her eternal position for the Shakti, Shakti, Shaktiman, Sita, Sita, Ram, Parvati, Shiva, Lakshmi, Narayan. It's always, the Shakti is always on the left of the Shaktiman. So the Parashakti, the supreme Parashakti, Adya Shakti of Krishna is Radharani, so she's on Krishna's left. This is in the Atharva Veda, one of the most ancient Shastras in India. So some people say Radharani is Apsara, and that means that, oh, we don't accept this. We accept Prema Bhavart. Or the, like this. So, another meaning of this verse is that another meaning of this verse is as follows. Aniya means, oh, unfortunate gopis, uselessly you are thinking yourself equal to that fortunate woman, but you haven't been mistreated. The fact is, Nunam, that Hari is enjoying with Radha in the secret place, Raha. So this is must be some anti-party. So then in line three, this is simply the comments of Vishwanath on this verse 10:30:28. Line three says, Yanno Vihaya Govinda. So Govinda, the word Govinda, means he's fully satisfied. He fully satisfies and pleases. Because the word vindate means to delight, to please, to satisfy. And go means gopis. Go means indriya, eyes, nose, hands, touch, tongue, ears. This go means senses, indriya, means bhumi, the land. It means the gopis, means the gopis. It means the cows. It means Govardhan Hill. What else? That's why Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. You go to see Venkateshwara Balaji, the famous Balaji, Vishnu deity, and Venkata Tirumala Hills in Tamil Nadu. It's the richest Thakurji or richest Murti in the world, Balaji. And when people were standing in line to take darshan of that Thakurji, I went a couple of times. I spent 1 week living on top of those hills in a guest house once for an experience. Interesting. So you stand in line, everyone says, Srinivas Govinda, Srinivas Govinda, Srinivas Govinda, Srinivas Govinda, Srinivas Govinda. They chant this, and they chant louder and louder as they get closer to the deity. You're in the Murti of Balaji. And I was thinking, this is so nice, because Govinda, Srinivas, Nivas means the house of, or the residence of. So Govinda is the residence of Radharani. Srinivas. Nivas means, we say Gupta Nivas, or this is the Sharma Nivas, means the house of Mr. Sharma, Nivas. So Sri is Radharani. Srinivas Govinda, Srinivas Govinda. Sorry, Balaji is Govinda. Of course, Govinda is the name of Vishnu also, and so is Srinivas. Srinivas means that Govinda Vishnu is the residence of Lakshmi, right? But we take that in a different way. Because the original Lakshmi is Radharani, and Govinda is also a name for Krishna. Govinda, the 13 tilaks we put on the body to sanctify the body and act as a kavacha, like in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Indra was arming himself with mantras, mantra kavacha. Once I asked my teacher about this, I was studying the sixth canto of Bhagavatam with my teacher, and this one chapter is called Narayana Kavacha. And it's not very difficult to do some nyas and different things. Part of this, establish these mantras on different parts of the body. And they're all names of Vishnu. And like our tilak. So our tilak is a type of kavacha. Kavacha means armor. Armor means protection. Shield, protection. So we're putting these, we make a mark, but the most important thing is touching that part of the body and establishing the mantra there, because the mantra is the form of Vishnu. So when you establish Vishnu there by putting on a tilak, by chanting his name, it's a pran pratishta. It's establishing Lord Narayan on different vulnerable. These are vulnerable parts of the human body. You're establishing Lord Narayan there as a kavacha, which means a protection or a shield to protect you from injury or wounds. So when you're establishing these 13 names, Damodar and Padmanabh and Madhusudan, they're all names of the 24 forms of Vishnu, some of them, 12 of them. And those Vishnu, as you know, he has four arms, Chaturbhuj Narayan. And in those four arms, he has two symbols, two objects. Two of them are weapons to protect the devotees, and two are for blessing the devotees. conch shell is for devotees. The conch shell is blown to chase, also to protect devotees. Because the sound of the conch is called shank dwani. Shank dwani chases away all bhutas and prates, which can give trouble to children especially. Pretas and bhutas and bishachas and kacharis and witches like Putana. They don't like that sound. So that's also, but it also proclaims victory. Panchajanya proclaims victory for the devotee. And the lotus flower is in the right hand, can be in different hands, but the lotus flower is to bless the devotee with nectar. The honey nectar of the lotus flower is a nectar of bhakti, a nectar of bhava and prema, which Krishna gives to his devotee, and to bless him with the fulfillment of his desires and ambitions and devotional service. And then chakra and club. That's for protecting the devotees. So we have 13 forms of Vishnu or so on our body. So this is, in other words, in this verse, the third line says, Yano vihaya govinda prito yam anayadraha. Raha means secret private place. So Govinda has taken priti. Priti means Radharani. Priti is the embodiment of pure love and pure spiritual divine satisfaction and pleasure for Krishna. So Govinda has taken priti to a raha, Vikunja Rahasya Stava. He's taken Radharani to a very secluded, raha means secret, very secret private kunja in the forest where none of the gopis can find them. And that the word Govinda, what I was getting to, was the word Govinda perfectly, it's a perfect name for Krishna in Vrindavan. The perfect name for Krishna, which is established in the Sandarbhas, in the Krishna Sandarbha, by the way, by Sri Jiva Goswami Pad, the perfect name of Bhagavan is Krishna, the word Krishna. It includes all the qualities, all the Aishwarya and opulence and grand and powerful qualities of Godhead, and also all the sweet and intimate, loving Madhurya qualities are fully embodied in the word Krishna. It's Kri and Shna, Krishna. That's the topmost name of the Lord. It includes everything. So that's why when Krishna is in Radharani's bhav and he wanted to be totally mad, totally madness and separation from Krishna, and Mahaprabhu's experiencing Radharani's mahabhav, the only name that comes out of his mouth is Krishna, 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 Krishna. So this is the perfect name of Bhagavan, Krishna. And the topmost rasa, and the topmost tattva, and the topmost sweetness, and the topmost leelas in Vrindavan. And Krishna attracts the hearts of everyone, and all living entities, and everyone with this name, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. If we die with this name on our lips, then we'll go to Krishna. If we live with this name on our lips, we will see Krishna in this very life. If we dream with this name in our dreams, we'll see Krishna in our dreams. But when you come into Vrindavan, then the name Govinda is so nice. That's why Rupa Goswami, when he installed the Thakurji for the whole Gaudiya Sampradaya, he could have named that Thakurji anything. But when the Thakurji manifested from the transcendental soil of Vrindavan, then the Thakurji spoke to him and said, I am Govinda. I am Govinda. So he established Govindaji as the Ishtadevata for the whole Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Radha Govinda, the primary name for Radha and Krishna, for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is Radha Govinda. Especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they have their origin and roots, as you know, in Navadvipa, with Mahaprabhu's advent there and propagation of Krishna consciousness. So even down to today, 99.99% of all Grihasthas of Bengali origin, when they buy Radha Krishna deities, what do they name them? Radha Govinda. And Prabhupada, he used to go to a local temple of the Muliks, which is told in his Leelamrita, and their deities' names were Radha Govinda. When Prabhupada was old enough, not very old, he said, Daddy, I want my own deities. I want my own deities. And his father said, what are you going to call them? He said, Radha Govinda. Then Prabhupada went to New York, and he established, because New York, for Prabhupada, New York was like Calcutta. Prabhupada used to walk alone, because they would ask, when devotees met Prabhupada, and they arranged for him to live in Second Avenue. Well, he lived different places before that. But then he finally stayed there. And they said, Prabhupada, where were you staying and what were you doing before we met you, before we found a place for you? So I was staying here and there. I was staying in the YMCA, which is like an overnight place for poor people. Let's put it that way. And I was staying sometimes with one yogi, Bengali yoga teacher, friend of mine, Mr. Mishra. He was living uptown by Central Park, which is a very costly area, very posh and costly area of Manhattan, because he was an uptown swami, had a lot of money, and he was teaching yoga to very rich people. And he liked Prabhupada very much, and he liked his cooking especially. Prabhupada would stay there. He had an extra guest room, so Prabhupada would stay there, cook for him. He said, I'll give you a free room, and you cook for me. Room and board, but you cook. So Prabhupada was cooking Bengali style for the Bengali yogi teacher in New York City, because it's pretty hard to find some New York housewife to cook bhaji and stuffed karela and all the things that they like, you know, and mustard oil. So Prabhupada was expert, as everyone knows. So it was a really win-win situation. So at that time, Prabhupada said, yes, before I was with you, I used to wander all around New York City. I used to wander around. Sometimes late at night, I was restless. I would leave my apartment and wander down to the harbor and walk along the Hudson River at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning just to see what the city was like. And then the devotees, Brahmananda, another devotee said, Prabhupada, 1 o'clock in the morning, you're wandering around New York City and that's where all the derelicts are and the drunkards and the drug addicts and the murderers. And it was so dangerous. And Prabhupada laughed. He said, and they said, weren't you afraid? He said, I'm an old Calcutta boy. Prabhupada said, I'm an old Calcutta boy. I'm not afraid of these things, you know. So in this way, Prabhupada was moving here and there. So Govinda is a perfect name for Krishna Vrindavan because it includes everything. So Prabhupada is worshiping Govinda. Govinda is mentioned here because, very interesting, this is the one and only verse in the entire Bhagavatam, 10.28.30, where Radharani's name is basically mentioned in any direct form. Anaya Radito Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvara Yanno Vihaya Govinda Prito Yam Anayadraha. So here in this verse you have Radha Govinda, Radita Govinda. So Radha Govinda, even here, when we first see Radharani surfacing from the Bhagavatam, Radharani's only place where she's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, she's mentioned with Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksare Vridyesh Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundar Chintya Guna Sarupam Govindam Adi Purusham. So Govinda is a very ancient name from the time of Brahma to the time of Prabhupada. Govinda, Govinda, Srinivas, Govinda, Govinda. So this is some of the comments on Vishnu Chakravarti. We'll continue tomorrow in verse 28 and continue with 29. Now we can go on Harinam. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai. Sambhaktagana Ki Jai.